Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining. This is another session of What's Up with Spark. I'm Andrew Mall, Ask the Data. You've seen me a couple times at this point. And I'm here with Shenyu Zhao, who owns quite a bit of the Spark streaming applications. So he is the one who has written the event hubs to Spark Connector, and he's done quite a lot in the Spark space here for the HD Insight team. I'm lucky to get some of his time today to go over how it works and talk about the architecture and really how Spark streaming works and what its structure looks like as an Apache project, and then how it works in HD Insight. So we'll be able to dive into both of those. For those who don't know anything about Spark streaming yet, it's pretty much like it sounds. It's a streaming complex event processor that runs on Spark. So similar if you know like Storm or Azure Stream Analytics, any sort of streaming complex event processing system, very similar to Spark streaming, at least in concept. They probably work quite a bit different, but the concepts there are the same. So analyzing any data as it's in flight, making different, changing certain things as depending on what values you get through the pipeline are all things that you can do with Spark streaming. So probably sick of me talking, let's just turn it over here to Shenyu and let us know kind of a little bit about what the event hubs and receiver, block generator, and block manager. Let us know a little about Spark streaming.
Okay, so Spark streaming is a solution for Spark to do a real-time data analysis. So Event Hubs is a Microsoft solution for pub/sub kind of message broker system in the cloud. It's kind of a Kafka in the cloud. So basically, a common usage for Spark streaming is you get the data from Event Hubs, and then you get it using our Event Hubs receiver, and then processing the data using Spark framework. So the good thing about Spark streaming is that you don't need to leave the Spark ecosystem. So you have the Spark ecosystem, all the rich functions that you can use for data transformation. Mm-hmm. So it's very native to a Spark solution. So that's what Spark streaming is. And it's our HD Insight Spark streaming story is based on Event Hubs. And of course, user can also use Kafka, some other message broker. And then you process the data, and eventually you can put the data into some persistent store like Edgebase, something like that.
Yeah, so like a good example of one place you would use Spark streaming is like a connected car, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a car that's sending a bunch of events. Those events go into the event hub, and right. Now we have all these events. We're capturing a bunch of data, but we want to make real decisions on what's happening. Maybe your tire is deflating, and we want to make that notify someone that's occurring. Mm-hmm. And kind of then it would go into the Spark streaming application where some more logic would occur that would allow them to make that decision, right?
That's correct.
So
yes.
So we're in the event hub, which is just it's a part of a service bus in Azure, and it brings that data in. And so then now, what is this receiver and block generator and block manager? So we have this data, it's coming into event hubs, we're receiving a bunch of it.
Right.
What's kind of the next step in that architecture?
So basically, Spark streaming is a micro-batching based system. This is opposed to the original Storm, which is one message at a time processing. So what Spark streaming does is you have a receiver that pulls data from event hubs, and then it will internally send this to a component called block generator. And the block generator just caches all the data, mm-hmm. and then every certain interval, they'll publish the data to block manager. So block manager is part of Spark. So basically, they manage all the RDDs in the distributed system. So the that's basically
okay. Yeah. So let's go a little deeper on kind of how it works. So can we talk a little bit? So if I'm looking at like Storm, for example, we have spouts and bolts.
Mm-hmm.
Does Spark have a similar concept to that?
No. So for Storm, it's pretty flexible that you can, you can specify your topology, basically the component where the data flows and how the hacking system works. For Spark streaming, it is an additional layer on top of Spark because Spark processes the data, the core data is RDD. You process that RDD. Spark streaming basically gives you a way of generating those RDD on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they generate that is with the receivers doing the macro batching. So basically you receive the data, a bunch of them, and then you generate a new RDD. There's a concept called batch interval. batch size. So we specify the batch size. Basically, the for every batch size, it's a new RDD generated and pushed to the Spark system, and then you can do any transformation on top of that RDD.
And so this is that micro batch size,
right?
So what's a typical batch size look like in an application? Are you talking a million or 10? What sort of range there?
It all depends on your application setting, but normally it's like a 10 seconds or a minute type of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It depends on how much, what is the frequency of your data arriving into the system.
And are you able to set that very small to, say, a second?
It has to be multiples of block interval. So there's another concept. It's a configuration in Spark. It's called block interval. It's the block generator, every block interval will publish something to the block manager. Basically, it's one partition in that RDD.
Mm-hmm.
But only when the batch size is satisfied, we'll close that as one RDD, and then you can process that RDD in the Spark system.
Okay. So just trying to make sure I'm understanding this correctly, right? The receiver makes kind of the pipeline, so it allows the event hub into the receiver. The receiver puts it into the RDD. Then the block generator publishes the RDD to the block manager every time that micro batch comes through.
Right. Correct. Okay. Yes.
Cool. So you've written a lot of this receiver code from the event hubs.
Right.
Do you want to show us some of that?
Yeah, sure. So one thing, as a starting point, you can always search, you know, you can search HD Insight. Spark streaming. So this is a tutorial on how do you use Spark streaming with event hubs on HD Insight. So you can follow that, you know, create event hubs, and then create a Spark cluster, and then use Zeppelin to write your first Spark streaming application. So I was just the first showing the user example, then we can dive into the receiver code.
Okay.
So this is how the user uses the receiver. Basically, you specify all the configurations to your event hubs, basically the policy name, policy key, namespace, and your event hub's name. And then you specify the partition count. And then this is a consumer group. So basically for each separate application, you need to specify a different consumer group. This is for like the bandwidth separation, all that stuff.
And there's a trick with the partition count, right? It needs to be associated to how many threads you have in your cluster. What's that?
Correct.
What's that rule?
So basically for each receiver, you need to have one core.
Okay.
So what we designed this is you have to have one core per receiver, and each receiver processes one partition. So if this partition count is one, then you have to have dedicated one core to this receiver. Then your system also needs to have other cores to the data transformation, so which means at least you need to have two cores reserved for this application to be successfully running.
Okay, so a good starting point for an application is one partition for every two cores that you have in your cluster.
Right, right.
And I'm sure that changes depending on what sort of workload you're running and everything else, but
absolutely,
users can start there to understand. Okay.
Yes. And then we have the consumer group. So the dollar default is the default one. If you want to use a different consumer group, you have to create that consumer group in the Event Hubs portal. So this checkpoint DIR is the directory that the Event Hub receiver uses to do the checkpointing. Basically, the checkpoint, the offset of the message into your main DFS. In our case, for HD Insight, this is WASP, basically the Azure storage account. And then here's the checkpoint interval. By default, it says to 10 seconds.
Okay.
And then you specify, this is the, you create a Spark, you create a streaming context. And then here you specify the batch size, basically 10 seconds. Every 10 seconds, a new batch is generated, pushed to the block manager as a new RDD. And then you can do transformation on that. So this is where it causes this, the receiver API, basically the event hubs utils.create union stream. So now you get a one stream that receives the data from all the partitions. That's what uni means. You can also create an individual stream based on one partition. Once you get the stream, and you can do some transformation. So here is an example. So basically you do for the data that the receiver generates is basically a byte stream. It's a byte array, sorry. This is how we use the byte array to generate a string, and then we create a case class called message. What it has is just a one string. You can do more fancy serialization, deserialization here according to your application needs. And here, after some map stage, we got a RDD. And then for each RDD, we're going to transform that into a data frame. And then we register that as a temporary table. So what this does is, now you have a temporary, every batch size, you have a temporary table that has all the data in that batch. And now you can use SQL you can use Spark SQL to process the data in that table.
And so that's where those micro batches are going to land. They're
right.
going to be pushed down into that table.
Right.
And then this stream.map, is that managed on any of the Spark streaming specific, the receiver,
no.
block generator?
That's just Spark.
That's
just
a normal
Spark. Right.
normal Spark job that just kind of laying the groundwork on where everything's going to be pushed.
Right. So all the trick thing is this sentence. So you after you create that stream, then you can use any Spark transformation APIs on top of that.
Okay, so that's that val stream equals event hub utils dot create union to stream. That's
right.
where the magic happens for
right.
Spark SQL. That's
right.
that is the one thing that we should kind of zoom in on and take a look at.
Right.
Because that's what's running across those receivers and generator
yes.
and such.
So the code the source code for the event hubs receiver is I just pushed it to the Spark packages. Spark event hubs. Just search this. Okay, so basically this is Spark packages is a bunch of third-party integration components for Spark.
Mm-hmm.
So I just published this yesterday. Basically this is the source code for the event hub receiver for Spark streaming.
And so this is managed, this Spark packages site is managed by Apache, right?
Yes.
So we get a ton of questions all the time on are we actually committing to the Spark internals? And it looks like, yes, here we are.
Yes.
This is going to Spark packages. It's on, managed by Apache.
Right.
Microsoft engineers going and pushing out code.
Right.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah. This is the Spark community, basically. So if
back.
We go to the homepage, basically is the GitHub repository for the source code. So this is how you build it. Let's take a look at the source code. So you go to the source. So the event hubs receiver is the source code. So there's another thing called reliable event hub receiver. So you may be confused, but for Spark streaming, there are two types of receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's a normal receiver. It's like unreliable receiver. And then this reliable receiver. The fact is, with the reliable receiver, you have at least one semantics.
Okay.
With a normal receiver, you don't. So on some rare occasions, it can lose some data, very rare.
You might lose a couple of events?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So this
event... Does it have to do with the checkpointing time?
That's correct.
Okay.
So basically, in this graph, the receiver has all, the offset stored somewhere so that when the receiver crashed, it can read its... checkpointed offset, and I use that offset as the starting point from event hubs, right?
Mm-hmm. It's behind you here, the marker?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Found that. So with a normal receiver, with a normal event hub receiver, so every 10 seconds, it will write this offset to a DFS. So in our case, it was
mm-hmm.
for HD Insight.
Yeah, so but this receiver is it works just as any other receiver would use, right?
Right.
So whether it's coming from event hubs or any other receiver that you tie in, Kafka, whatever it happens to be, they all have that same type of terminology,
yes.
reliable and a...
Right,
okay.
right, yes.
And they might, okay, and then
the
our distributed file store is going to be Azure storage, blobs.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so every receiver does similar things. You know, Kafka receiver does the same, you know, similar things, but it's, you can choose to write to different thing, different store, like you can write it to Zookeeper if you choose to. That all depends on the implementation of the receiver code.
Okay.
So this is our implementation. So for, you know, the thing is, the receiver just push that data into the block generator. It's not committed to the Spark system yet.
Okay.
So if this guy writes the offset into the store where this guy crashed, then you will have this data loss. So for reliable Event Hub receiver, what we did is we hook up with the block generator. We know that exactly at, you know, the block interval, I told you, at every block interval, this guy will publish the data to the block manager. Only after that, we are going to push the offset to DFS.
So once it's published, then you push the offset.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So there's actually to use reliable. You don't have to specifically say I want to use reliable Event Hub receiver. All you need to do is to turn on this WA. So Red Hat log. It's a configuration in Spark Streaming. I think I mentioned that in the comments in this reliable Event Hub receiver. So if you turn on this Red Hat log, what this does is whenever the block generator pushes data to block manager, it also pushes the data into a Red Hat log.
Okay.
So that when these things crash, they can recover from the Red Hat log.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you achieve this at least one semantics.
Okay. Very cool. So going back, we have these two different receivers here. You're about to show us through the code of what you had written. So this is the reliable.
Yeah.
Reliable Event Hubs receiver.
Right. So this is the configuration I just talked about, Spark Streaming Receiver Red Hat Log dot enable. So if this is enabled, the same code will use reliable Event Hub receiver.
Awesome. And so do you see like a performance degradation when you use a reliable? Is that kind
yes.
of the trade-off you have there?
Yes.
You're not going to be as fast?
That's correct.
Okay.
So if you don't have this at least once requirement, I recommend you use the normal Event Hub receiver.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can choose to use reliable Event Hub receiver.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. So if you're just looking for speed, don't set that to true. But if you need to account for every event, make sure you're set up for that.
Right. So I guess this is it for the receiver code.
Okay. So
you want to talk about HA?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So let's take a look at what we have for high availability then.
Okay. So in this code, we have an example of how to use this Event Hub receiver. So you click on that. So this is another GitHub project, HD Insight Spark examples. So in this example, we show you how to use the Event Hub receiver in the HA setting. So basically, any Spark application has a driver and a bunch of executors.
Mm-hmm.
So by default, the driver runs on the head node.
Okay.
And if the head node is, you know, has a failover to a different head node, then the driver is dead, and nobody's going to restart the driver, then your Spark Stream application will die.
Okay.
And you have to manually restart that.
So it fails silently, too, then, in that case.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. So it's fine for normal Spark application, but for streaming, you want to run 24/7.
You need to know, yeah.
Right. So HA is a very important feature. To achieve that, the Spark Streaming story is that you they provide you a solution for you to run the driver in the worker node instead of on the head node.
Okay.
So the driver runs on the worker node, and then has a, so the Spark Master has a supervise feature where it will look at your driver, do a heartbeat. If the driver died, the Spark Master will restart driver somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So that solves your problem of the driver availability. And also, the driver itself, when it restarts a different node, it needs to pick up the previous status. So your driver has to do checkpointing periodically.
Okay.
So that's also, I'm going to show you how to do that in the code. So with this driver, you know, high availability, and then with this cluster mode with supervise, it's pretty, you know, you can achieve the high availability with Spark streaming.
Okay.
So the other thing people may worry about is the Spark Master HA, because you, the Spark Master, when you have this head node transition to a to the standby, when you have a head node failover, your Spark Master will be restarted on different head node.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, you also need to checkpointing your Spark Master. So Spark Master has a feature where you can use the Zookeeper to store all the metadata, so that you don't need to worry about data loss when you do a head node failover.
And are these things enabled by default?
Yes.
Within the cluster?
Yes.
Okay.
Or
so that's something
HD inside Spark is already enabled.
If you're thinking about that as a developer, you don't even need to be. So it's,
right.
That's great. It just
right.
Automatically happens.
Yes. Okay, let me show you the how the user write that example, how the user write the Spark streaming with HA. So this is a very simple example that counts how many messages received from event hubs. So this is written in Scala. So if you look at the main function, it's pretty similar to the Zeppelin example that we showed you. Basically, we have a map of all the configurations of your event hub. And then instead of creating the stream context, we do a get or create. So this is the driver checkpointing mechanism. So Spark Streaming will try to read from that checkpointing DIR if there's previously checkpointed Spark context or not. If
mm-hmm.
there is, we just read that and use that Spark, the streaming context. Otherwise, we're going to create a new streaming context. So the source code there is create context. So here is where you create a new streaming context. And then here you give you the batch size. You also need to, for the streaming context, you need to call checkpoint. You give it the checkpoint DIR. And then periodically, you also...
You check that interval. So this checkpoint directory is always going to be a blob storage account, right?
Right, yes. So it's in your it's a directory in your DFS, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the same thing, create a union stream.
So is there anything that's unique within our implementation here on the event hubs that you might not find in some of the other Spark processings?
No.
It's, okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So if you use the same application, if you want to use the Kafka as your data source, you can use similar mechanisms.
Okay.
So basically, you write your application in a way that the driver has this checkpointing mechanism. So to make things in the production, so you can use Zeppelin as your tool to do prototyping. And then when it comes to the production, you need to use this way. You need to write this application and then use a command line to submit your application in the cluster mode with supervise all those HA features.
Okay.
You need to do that.
So you would remote desktop into the cluster and submit your application, start it there.
Right.
And then have that running and continue
right.
from that.
Okay. Right.
That's good to know. That's
yeah.
definitely good. So Zeppelin for prototyping,
right.
actually put it on the cluster, run it from the command line to get that out there and running in production.
That's right. So I think as the customer also needs to have a story for scalability. So basically, you start with a small cluster, and then when your size of the data grows, you can scale to a larger cluster with more nodes. But at some point of time, you cannot scale that anymore because we don't recommend you have more number of nodes than the number of partitions.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, one node per partition. If you have two nodes per partition, you are going to move some data across the node. It's not beneficial. So at that point, you can still scale your VM, VM size to be a larger memory or more secure.
So at that point, scale up, not out.
Right.
So go against that typical cloud logic.
Right.
It may not be intuitive for someone who's been building a lot of cloud applications, but you want to scale that up to handle more instead of always just out.
Right. And in reality, I think people also need to worry about monitoring, right? So for any streaming application, you need to have a monitoring story. So normally people use some external tools like a Ganglia. Also on Azure, there's Application Insights. So that's out of the topic of today's discussion.
So you can tie in Application Insights to these applications that you're running in Spark Streaming.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yep.
We might be talking later. You might be coming back on the series to give me a little in-depth view on how you can run Application Insights.
Okay.
Because that would be something very cool.
Okay.
At least, if not on here, we'll go back and write a blog post together or something on that.
Okay.
To let people know exactly how that works. That's fine. So let's think about, I get a ton of questions from people who are just a little, not overwhelmed, but they just have a lot of questions about the different choices we have on Azure for Stream Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And even in just the Hadoop space, there's many different solutions. Maybe, what's kind of your opinion on when to use Spark Streaming versus Storm versus Stream Analytics, if you want to bring that into conversation? What do you think about those?
So, Storm has been there for a while, so a lot of people are familiar with Storm. If you search online and find the difference between Storm versus Spark Streaming, a lot of them mention like Storm is a one message at a time system, or Spark Streaming is a micro batch. It's true, but I don't think that's the main difference, because for Storm, you can also have this Trident API, which have this micro batching capability. But I think the difference between Storm and Spark Streaming is like Storm is very flexible. So you specify all the topology, how your message flow into the in this topology, and how the ACKing system works. You have a lot of control. Where Spark Streaming is basically it just provides your receiver, you receive data into the Spark system. From there, it's just a Spark takeover. You use those APIs to transform the data. The other advantage of Storm is it's very easy to provide you this at least once semantics, where we say that Spark Streaming is it can achieve at least once, but for exactly the once, Storm can achieve that with Trident. For Spark Streaming, it's very hard to achieve exactly once semantics. The only application can achieve that is to use Kafka with Spark Streaming, and you don't use any of the receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You just use native Kafka API. So basically, Spark system is a lazy evaluation system.
Yes.
So they have this RDD. They're trying to evaluate that RDD. They find the source is on Kafka. Then you directly go to Kafka and use offset to get the data.
Okay,
so that's the way to implement exact ones. Other than that, if you use a receiver, there's no guarantee on exact ones semantics. The other observation that I have is Storm is very reliable at this stage because it's more mature.
Mm-hmm.
And Spark Streaming is not as reliable, but it's evolving very fast.
Okay.
So my recommendation is if you are into Spark, if you're already using Spark or you plan to move to Spark, you choose Spark Streaming. Otherwise, I would advise you to stay in Storm.
Okay. Good, yeah. Definitely based upon your application needs, too, it sounds like. If you have to have certain features, you have to choose one of the platforms that works best for that.
Right. Yep.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, good insight.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thanks. I appreciate you coming on the show here and talking about Spark Streaming. If people have any questions, what's the best way to reach out to you and ask those? Do you have a handle, or should I kind of route them through me to you? What would you like them to do?
I'm not a Twitter fan, but yeah, you can definitely route it to me and send me an email any questions you have.
So you heard that. You're going to have to tweet at me, ask the data. It's going to pop up down here, probably between my hands. So let's feel free to reach out there. Again, I'm Andrew Mall and at Ask the Data, and this has been What's Up with Spark.
Awesome. Thank you.